Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving Father in heaven, again we offer up our praise and thanksgiving unto Thee, the only true and living God, the only one worthy, Father, of praise and adoration. And Father, we confess that feeble human lips cannot praise Thee adequately, but we trust that You would look to our hearts and, Father, by Thy Holy Spirit, grant us the expression of praise and thanksgiving unto Thee. We are thankful for these who have turned aside from the cares of life to present their bodies a living sacrifice, and we pray that You'd bless them in a very powerful way. We remember also those who are not able to be here. We recognize that there are many of this body who have a desire to assemble and worship but cannot. Father, we ask that You would meet with them and bless them, give them comfort and joy in knowing Thee. When it is pleasing in Thy sight, we pray that You'd restore them to this house of worship. Father, we pray for the church wherever she would meet together this day. We pray for Thy ministering servants who will stand to proclaim the gospel. We ask, Father, that all things would honor and glorify Thee. I pray, Father, now that You would bless us as we study Thy Word. I pray that You would bless me to preach the gospel, bless each one of us to hear and understand Your message. And, Father, sanctify these things to our hearts that we might serve Thee better in days to come. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Call your attention this morning to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, and I want to read verses 46 through 55 to begin our study this morning. Again, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. We sang what we call Christmas songs this morning. I think they're appropriate for any time, but they seem especially fitting as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And most of them are rather old songs. It seems one of the most popular today is a fairly modern song. I hear it more and more. It seems like it's growing in popularity. And that's the song written by Mark Lowry, "Mary, Did You Know?" And it is a beautiful song and a great expression of God's truth. But it asks the question, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you delivered will soon deliver you?" Now, this song poses several questions that we cannot answer. But the Bible gives us some answers to some things that Mary did, in fact, know. And we also have her reaction to the things that she knew. And her reaction was a wonderful hymn of praise to God for all that He had done. And as we have these truths revealed to us, our reaction ought to be the same as hers, to praise God, to lift up our voice in joy, in thanksgiving for all that He's done. Now, Luke chapter 1, and beginning at verse 46, God's Word says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." So this is a hymn of praise. We might rightly call this the first Christmas song, at least the first in the New Testament. We can go back in the Old Testament and find some that I think look forward to that birth of Jesus Christ and sing praise to God. But I want to go back for just a minute and look at circumstances leading up to Mary's great song of praise. As we go back in this first chapter to the 28th verse, we have the record of the angel coming to Mary. Now, we're not told very much about Mary, but those who study ancient customs and things of that nature believe, let me put it that way, that believe that young ladies back in that day married at a very early age, perhaps 14, 15 years of age. Mary was betrothed, and it is an assumption, and don't go beyond that. We're assuming that she was probably a teenager. And probably what we call an average teenager. And not like teenagers today, but average for that day. It's just an ordinary girl. Nothing unusual about her as far as we can gather from Scripture. But an angel appeared to her. Verse 28 says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, the declaration of the angel is that God has blessed you. And that's what makes Mary special. Not that there was anything about her that attracted God's attention, but God, in His mercy and grace, blessed her in a very special way. And it was a blessing to have a part in God's wonderful plan of salvation. But I want you to remember that there was consequences to that. You can imagine that this young girl, a virgin, is suddenly found with child. People will talk. We don't know any of the circumstances, but it's very likely that she became pretty much an outcast in that society. You know, sometimes that's what God's blessings do. They separate you from the world. But the more you're separated from the world, the closer you draw to God. And there's where the great blessings come in, when God draws us to Himself. Verse 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of David." So there's something that Mary knew. That she was to bring forth the Son of God. And the Lord would give him the throne of David. He was to be the fulfillment of the promises that God made concerning David. And I believe that Mary would have understood that God's saying, here is the promised Savior. Here is the Messiah that was to come. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Well, Mary knew that God was bringing forth a king, an everlasting king, to rule upon his throne forever. Mary's first reaction, or her reaction to that announcement, is found in verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." There's a reaction that every child of God should have to God's decrees. Whatever God says. He made special decrees to Mary, but in His word He made decrees for every one of us. And our reaction said, here's your servant. What you've said, let it be. I am submissive to thy will, whatever your will is. If it brings trials and hardships, so be it. Serving God is our purpose. After Mary had submitted herself to God's will, verse 39 said, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth are the parents of John the Baptist. You remember how the angel had appeared to Zacharias and announced that Elizabeth, who was old and barren, would bring forth a son. We don't know if Mary knew that at this time. But for some reason, she was drawn to her cousin Elizabeth. Now, it may be that the Holy Spirit is bringing them together. It may be that she, being with child and knew that people were going to start talking, she sought seclusion. She sought to get away. But whatever the cause and whatever the reason, she came to Elizabeth and saluted her. Verse 41 says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." The baby that we know would become John the Baptist, leaping in the womb. God communicated to that unborn child that his Savior, another unborn child, was approaching him. And he leaped for joy. What a marvelous thing when God begins to work, and He works on both sides of the equation to bring His purposes together. And Elizabeth, being filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 42, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Now, notice it says he leaped with joy. I'm sure that mothers who have carried children know that they often move around, and I understand sometimes move very violently at times. But God, through the Holy Spirit, tells us that he leaped for joy. God communicated that joy to him, and he responded to it. Verse 45, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord." And then Mary sings her song of praise unto God. And notice that, first of all, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." We have to understand that the Lord is magnified in her sight and in her experience, and she wants the Lord's name to be magnified in those around her. She can't add anything to the Lord. She can't make the Lord any bigger. He is perfect. He is complete. He's God. Nothing can be added. But there can be much added to His praise and His honor among men. And when Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," she's simply saying, "I'm praising Him." And I believe that's an invitation for others to praise God along with her. Now, as she praises God, I've said this before, a lot of what is called praise songs today, they repeat over and over, and often they just say, "I want to praise the Lord." Well, when we praise the Lord, we talk about the Lord, what He is and what He has done. So Mary praises the Lord by expressing her experience with the Lord. And I want us to understand, and I want us to see what she talks about in this song of praise. First of all, she says, verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She speaks of salvation, and she speaks of forgiveness. You know, there are some that hold that Mary was sinless. If she needs a Savior, and if she praises a Savior, that indicates that she recognized that she was a sinner and needed salvation. But she also understood that God had brought salvation to her, and she wants to rejoice and sing praise unto God for that. We find an experience of David recorded in the Psalms, in Psalm 35 and verse 9. A very similar expression, and I think it is a common expression among God's people who have come to realize their sinful conditions and then seeing God's provision for their sins. Psalm 35 and verse 9, David said, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in His salvation." You know, the word soul in Scripture sometimes, I believe, applies to the inner man. Sometimes it applies to the whole being. We are living souls, and it applies to the whole being. And I think David is talking about his inner man. Sometimes old outer man forgets to praise God, forgets to take joy. But there's a deep soul appreciation, a rejoicing in God's salvation. But it needs to come out. When it's inside, it needs to be expressed in an outward way so that others can share with us praise and adoration unto God. The next thing I think Mary expresses in this is God's victory. Notice beginning at let me go back to verse 48. She says, "He has regarded the low estate of His handmaid." I think she recognizes her weakness, her inability, that low estate. She may be considering her outward circumstances. Evidently, she was poor in this world's goods. She was a descendant of David, that great king who ruled in a great kingdom, and how his house has come down to this lowly estate that they were in. But God regarded that. God reaches down to the poor and needy and lifts up. So she praises God for that. Then she praises Him for His victory. Verse 49, "For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty." Now, we today, I don't believe, see God's victory. He is victorious. He will finally put down all the enemies of God and of God's people. We'll share in that victory. But today, we have a spiritual victory. Even though it looks like the ungodly ruling our world, Jesus Christ sits upon His throne. And although we might not see the fulfillment, by faith we can believe that He is victorious and that He has given us the victory. We need to praise Him and we need to thank Him for that. Mary also sings about God's mercy. And mercy is either mentioned or referred to a number of times in this passage of Scripture. But verse 54 says, "He hath holpen His servant Israel." That is, He's helped His servant Israel. "In remembrance of His mercy." She confesses that Israel, God's people, are servants of God, although many times they were unfaithful servants. And if God had given them what justice demanded, He would have cast them away forever. But in mercy, He helped. Not because of their worthiness or deeds that they had done. Simply because God is merciful and because God loves. God is not changed from that day. He gave His only begotten Son. He came into the world at that particular point in history. But I'm going to tell you, God is still giving. His Son is still with us. He's still ruling His kingdom, expressing God's mercy to unworthy sinners. And finally, Mary talks about a covenant that God hath made. She says, "And He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." All those thousands of years later, Mary understood that God blessed her and God blessed Israel because He made a promise to Abraham. Again, Abraham was just an ordinary man. As far as we can tell by Scripture, before God came to him, he was no different from anybody else around him. But God had mercy on him. God chose him. God in His sovereignty blessed him and made promises to him. And God is even today remembering the promises that He made to Abraham. Look with me in the book of Genesis in the 17th chapter. Just one of the expressions of God's covenant. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19, as God is speaking to Abraham. Let me set up the context just a little. God had made a promise to Abraham that in his son should all the nations be blessed. You remember that at that time, Abram had no children. His wife Sarah was barren. They were elderly. Naturally speaking, they had no hope. And God made a promise concerning a son. They took it upon themselves to work God's plan. Abraham went in to Sarah's servant. She bore a son named Ishmael. And Abraham's desire was that would be the covenant son. But God said no. The miraculous son is going to be the one that blesses and the blessings come through. It's amazing to go through Scripture and read that line that comes down to Mary, the miraculous birth that she had. It was unique, but it wasn't the first miraculous birth. You find a number of times those who had been barren were blessed by God out of His mercy and His grace. But Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac." Isaac means laughter. I think there was first laughter because to Sarah that sounded like a ridiculous idea. But it came to be the laughter of joy and praise, especially to Abraham. And God said, "And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." So God is going to bless him, and he's going to bring forth a seed in which all nations should be blessed. Paul talks about that seed in the singular and said that seed was Christ. But I'm going to tell you, there is a seed in Christ that we're a part of. Now, how does the promise made to Abraham all those many years ago apply to us? And how does a promise that most men regard as applying to the Jews, what does that have to do with us who are Gentiles? Well, I think that covenant that God made had some natural elements to it that did apply to the natural seed of Abraham. But I think it had spiritual consequences as well that applies to a spiritual seed. We find in the book of Galatians, in the third chapter, the words of the Apostle Paul, and I'll close with these last thoughts. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 26. Paul said, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." If you have faith in Christ Jesus, that's evidence that you are a child of God. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." God has taken away those divisions between Jew and Gentile. Men and women equally blessed in Christ Jesus. Jew, Gentile, all come together as one. And verse 29 says, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So the covenant that God made with Abraham, it comes down to us today. Mary praised God because she could see the workings and the fulfillment of God's promises, of God's covenant coming together. Mary, did you know? Well, I can tell you, she knew that she was bringing forth the Son of God. She knew that she was bringing forth her Savior. She knew that she was a sinner in need of salvation. And she knew God had provided salvation for her. And what was her reaction? "My soul doth magnify the Lord." As David said, "Magnify the Lord with me." Let's sing praises to God. Let's remember, the world will draw your mind away from Jesus Christ in this season. They'll try to draw you out to the shopping malls and the crowds and the material things of life. all those other things. Let's set our mind upon God who has saved us by giving us His only begotten Son. And let us lift up our voice in praise and thanksgiving unto Him. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.